Was that in 2019?
2019. That was in 2021.
Okay. I remember I came in 2020, so whatever happened in 2019, I can't even speak on that. So I was here 2020, and I'm still here, and I'm blessed to be here. You know, if it has to do with support from the team, I think the team's all in with me and all the guys that we have now. No, I would say it's not frustrating, because I would say the only thing that gets frustrating is if you hear it every day or is if you see it every day. So for me, I eliminate all of that. Don't hear it. Don't see it. I go home, go to my family, study, wake up the next day, come back, enjoy football. Then I hear everything, you know, obviously from the media. And then when Ann preps me, you know, for whatever you guys are going to say, then I'm like, oh, I got to answer this. All right, let me figure out something politically correct to say. So.
Well, the Miami Dolphins are off today, and we're back in the air conditioning and the studio, which is, by the way, the nicest studio I have ever worked in, as we say good morning to everybody. And a lot of stuff. Tua Tagovailoa talking yesterday is very good. Got a lot of different things that biggest name in this town, and it's not even close. And I think he's still getting used to it, and we'll get into some of the other stuff with that as we get in. But, yeah, he was asked about the quarterback, the tampering and all the stuff and how it affects him. He said, hey, man, first of all, if you're talking about tanking, I wasn't here for the tanking or no tanking or anything else.
We were tanking for Tua, remember?
That was it. Yeah, we were. That's right.
We were tanking for Tua.
And then the hip, and then we were kind of, we're not sure tanking or what are we doing here?
At that point, we were doing whatever we could.
Well, yeah. whichever one you want.
We tried to, right.
Match up. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. The NFL appealing the Deshaun Watson 6-game suspension. It is about ready to get ugly and nasty between the union, lots of lawyers, and the commissioner and the league, as they have the ability to change this, and it looks like they are hard after a 1-year suspension and this guy to get treatment before he comes back. So they thought his thing, thank God, somebody finally came out and said, whatever you think on this is not normal. It's just not normal. You have a problem. You need to get it fixed. You know, doing it and being, you know, the way you handled it, the where it was done, things, you got caught in some lies. You know, again, you know, he said, she said on some of this stuff, but it's just not normal. It's not normal to go to this many different women and this many different locations and bring them in. And you have a problem. Listen, man, I know the old everybody wants to be with me, and this was better than going to nightclubs and all the things, but it was so refreshing to hear. I don't care if he gets suspended 1 year or not or what. I heard all the guys taking, you know, saying 6 games not enough. That's kind of been everybody's thing. It needs to be a lot more than 6 games. And then it came out yesterday, the league wants a 1-year suspension and this guy to get treatment. And I was like, finally, in my opinion, he needs a treatment. I mean, whatever you want to give him, he still needs. And the judge said, after seeing all this stuff, old softy, she said, this guy needs to stay away, and all massages need to be done
in-house.
In-house with the Cleveland Browns. And he should not be allowed in his contract or anywhere else to go out and try to solicit one. So anyway.
Well, step one of this is Goodell going to be the one now to do this? Or is he going to turn it over to one of his people inside the same office, obviously, but the appeals committee, to see who's going to do it? Like, because they're asking for an indefinite suspension, the 1 year, a monetary.
Rogers got final say in this whole thing.
No matter what, of course.
So the union
set it up.
But is he
going to put the blame on himself, or is he going to throw it, you know, down the hall to whoever is going to hear it again? Because whatever Goodell wants is going to be what the appeals person does.
Well, they're gonna tie this up and get others involved. No matter what, they're talking about this thing is going to be an expensive, long, drawn out. It's gonna get ugly as we try to figure out what's gonna happen and what's fair and all these things, but this guy, why this all going on? No matter what anybody says, the behavior is just not normal,
no,
man. I wasn't exactly Mr. Clean and, you know, going out in clubs when I was single and, you know.
Joe, you look like looking, Mr. Clean compared to this guy.
Looking for love, but the whole freaky, you know, buying massages and not really wanting the massage, but wanted other stuff. And anyway, hey, listen, that's one story. We got a lot of other stuff to get to here this morning. Dolphins finished up that first week. Got the day off. Be leaving Monday. Have a couple more practices, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at home. And then Monday taking off, man, for Tampa Bay. They'll be up there basically the whole week. I didn't realize they were going up on Monday with workouts starting on Wednesday and Thursday, light on Friday, and then, of course, the first preseason game on Saturday up there. But been a lot of talk, a lot of guys yesterday. You know, again, I will say a couple of things about practice yesterday, and I'm not who's trending up and who's trending down and who's not doing this and who's doing that and all the things you get from your favorite print media guys. So Tyreek had the day off yesterday, and I could just tell practice was completely different when he's not there. Now, they got a lot of work done. Don't get me wrong. They went after and everything, but it just looked different. I felt like his sidekick was even a little different. I mean, he dropped the ball, but that's no big deal. Guy's going to drop the football. Talking about Jaylen Waddle. But there were some other guys, man. It was actually a really good day for a lot of young guys. A lot of young guys. Tanner Connor. I mean, looking it up, Tanner Connor. Running down the middle, Skylar Thompson, seventh-round quarterback, who's by far got the strongest arm on the team, was really accurate and has been really good the last few days. Braylon Sanders makes plays every day. Eric Ezekama has just – look, he was in good shape to make this team, short of being awful.
Right, fourth-round pick.
But
right,
but he has really had a good camp. He has had a really – you want to talk about biggest surprise in this whole thing to me and just watching them every day and they throw it up and they were running blitzes. They've been letting the defense run a lot more blitzes the last couple of days. It has been Ezekama, just beating guys. He's one of the bigger body guys of the wide receivers, but he just keeps making plays. Now, look, there's a lot of guys faster, although – He plays pretty fast, and he's catching everything. The knock on him was that he drops a lot of balls, and he just has it. So I just went yesterday, you know, the Jalen Phillips and guys on defense probably would have had a lot of sacks. They're throwing a lot of stuff at Tua. They want him to see this, and it's good because he would have been sacked a few times the last couple of days. But I think they want to get him used to where to go with the ball. There's going to be times you can't pick blitzes up. These are blitzes we run and other people are probably going to run to at some point. So I like what they're doing. And the number one thing that I wanted to get out, that one of the big differences between this year and last year, and I'm talking offensively, they are throwing the ball down the field in practice. You got to practice it. And do it one-on-one and 11-on-11 and 7-on-7. If you're going to be able to do it in a game, you got to throw it down the sideline. You got to throw it down the middle of the field. You got to throw corner routes. If you're going to have those big splash plays, I don't care, 20, 25-yard plays and, you know, whatever the guy catching the ball and whatever he runs for after. But that's how you get those big plays, man. And Tua has been – really accurate throwing them. And, you know, again, he's got to make sure they're stepping up, and because I don't know how many sacks they would have been because guys aren't obviously sacking their quarterback right now. But I just like it, man. I'm like, okay, I do know this, man, from a long, long time ago, some things never change. If you're going to throw it deep, you got to be throwing it deep in practice and getting used to it so it's not like brand new. Like, damn, are we calling this? Wow, this is kind of weird. So they've been doing a lot of that kind of stuff, and a lot of the young guys have really, really played well. And, of course, defensively there's been a lot of guys, and Jaylen Phillips and I think Christian Wilkins and guys blitzing on the outside, and been a lot of guys playing really, really well. But yesterday was just like Tanner Connor looks really good, man. I see he's making. You're going, who the hell is that out there? Oh, he's a receiver that they moved from Idaho or Idaho State. They moved him from tight end at a smaller school, or from wide receiver to tight end to play at 225 or 228, whatever he weighs right now. But he's making plays, and you know, I look at the roster like everybody that does this for a living. I say, he looks great.
But,
and I mean, practice squad. Hey, the great thing about this right now, but I don't see him on a 53-man roster.
Right.
But you know what? That's the great thing. I wish they would have had that years ago instead of straight 45 and cut you and you go home and get a job, and then they call you when three guys go down. They go, what have you been doing? I've been working, you know.
Right,
got a
church.
Little job on the side right. here, you know.
Yep.
Back home. Well, we're flying you back. Are you in shape? Yeah, I could be better. Well, it won't take long. We need – and now
what's the number now? 16? Is that practice squad?
16 practice squad, guys. Wow. You can go up to 16.
Right.
I guess you don't.
You got a vets on there now, a couple of vets. Yeah.
Well, you can take – there's a lot of vets you can keep now. I mean, they've gotten rid of a lot of rules, and it all makes sense, man. And you can come back. It used to be you're on IR, you're done for the year, and made no sense. There's five games left. You're going perfectly healthy. One of the best players on the team, and they go, ha-ha, you're on IR, bro. You're done for the year. Never made sense to me. And now – they got more than one guy can come back from IR, and you can shift guys in and out. So, listen, the league has got this figured out from that standpoint. They want to have the best when you're healthy in October, November, December. They want to make sure you can come back and you can play. And if you got some vets that you want to keep in shape because you think you're going to need them and they're on the practice squad and you like them enough to keep them, because you think they're going to play, which obviously you do, or you wouldn't keep a bunch of vets as backups. Because guys get injured, man. These lists now, ask Baltimore. I don't know if they're the leaders, but I'm just guessing they're right up there.
Well, they're 14, the training camp leaders last year.
15, right. 16 guys during the season. They were a pretty banged up group. Anyway, we got a lot. I mean, a lot of stuff going on to get to here today. A lot more from Tua Tagovailoa. I love when he talks, man. He's had a good camp. Does he just look more confident when he talks to you?
Yes.
The way his body language, you know, he's not waiting for Fitzpatrick to come up and the whole team to follow him to the – I mean, he realizes
– I think it's the first time he realizes he's the guy. Right. He's the quarterback. He's the starter on this team. He's the guy. He's the man out there. And I think you could tell by the way he talks and by the way he talks to the media. Answering their questions.
Well, that's what
too.
I was talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I meant yesterday. Yesterday, the way he's talking, and you know, everybody said, how's he feel? I think he did a pretty good job of saying, listen, man, all that stuff from before is history. You know, even going back to this tanking thing that everybody's on, and I saw our former head coach came out and say he's really disappointed that they admitted Stephen Ross was getting out to through his guys and saying, "Hey, you know, I'm. What are we doing here, man? Let's play the right guys and stuff." So yesterday, the guys were out trying to get the other part of the story from anybody that was here in 2019. So listen, I've been saying this since the start. There's not one coach or one player on the team in 2019 that was on that team to go, "Oh, just take it easy. Don't worry about playing." They're all going to play their ass off every play. So the thought is, yeah, but if we keep enough guys that maybe shouldn't be playing, that those guys playing at their best, the other teams are just going to beat us. And Josh Rosen.
That's it.
And I'm going to say this again. Said it yesterday. And this is putting out old history, and hopefully we put this thing to bed. 2019, if we would have played with Josh Rosen all season, I know a lot of you don't want to hear this, and a lot of you were really excited when he got here. He was a top 10 pick, and we gave up the 2 and the 5 to get him. Listen, if he would have played every snap of every game, I really believe we would have had the worst record in football. I'm the first to tell you with everybody else. But here's the deal. It was clear to every guy on that team that Josh Rosen could not even come close as a starting quarterback to Ryan Fitzpatrick, one of the great leaders of men you'll ever get. One of the most popular guys to ever play, physically a lot more talented, and all the intangibles, all the other stuff that coaches look for and your team looks for, like it was his team. Brian Flores, to his credit, realized it, gave it a shot for right. 5 or 6 games and went, this guy is not very good, which, by the way, I think the league has spoken to. The league has spoken. He's not going to finish this season short of Deshaun Watson getting, you know, you think he'll be on a 53-man roster? I mean, if Deshaun Watson comes back, he's definitely going to be gone
no,
at some point.
No, he's not going to make it if Watson's there.
But
right?
It's the same story. It's been on 5 or 6 teams now where he's a practice squad. Right. Played a little backup when some guys go down, you know, because he can make some throws. You can see he was a first-round pick. But worse than his skills on the football field or is his skills when he's not on the football field? Well, some of the worst I've ever seen. He's just a weird dude.
Right. Strange
he
guy.
He is just
right.
a strange dude yeah. without the talent. So if we did that, the team, you would have lost the whole team. They lost respect for that coaching staff. Like, you know, we're out here busting our ass, and it's clear that dude, like, they all know who can play and who can't play. And we heard that. Like, hey, there's no reason. There's no reason, man. Don't play Josh. We need to put the other guy. As soon as they put him in, got closer to winning, game on the last play of the game, I think, against the Redskins. Had a couple tight games, and all of a sudden us getting blown out went away, and we go 5-4 in our last 9 games with a chance to win a couple more of those games in every game, and it started. So
should at least start Rosen for that Bengals game at the end of the season when you won in overtime.
Hell, just that they had a hell of a comeback. Right. They scored like 14 right. quick points right. against the defense, and
that was
got
the number one
us.
Pick bowl. That's yeah. what that game was.
Well, I don't even remember. Listen, that thing's done. And I'm over it. I think fans are kind of over the thing. And
We're here. That's revisionist history. Go back and say whatever you want. Burrow, Herbert, whatever
well,
they you want.
Well, they talked to a coach on the 2019 yep. staff, and he goes, no, we played hard. They went to a couple guys on the team. They go, no, we played hard every day. You guys talked about tanking. We didn't talk about it. I don't know what they did up in the front office. Nobody told me on ownership. But we played hard, and they did play hard. They just, to start with, weren't very good.
Oof. Started that season was rough.
And it looked like, yeah, when the national media said somebody's going to get hurt on the Dolphins, they got guys on that team shouldn't be there, to the way they played. Unbelievable story at the end of the year. It was a great story. So, anyway, I hope the tanking thing is over. And I know Coach Flores is disappointed that he thought, I guess, the $100,000 offer per game was legit, and those guys coming to him. Look, I don't think he'd make that up, that Chris Greer went to him.
No.
I mean, be fair about this. I'm not big on slamming 100%
right.
coach is gone, that Chris Greer didn't go to him and say, hey, ownership's not real happy about some things here. And Chris goes, Brian Flores would say, hey, Chris, here's the deal. I'm going to win friggin' games. I don't want my record to be 2-14 or 1-15. I mean, I owe it to these guys when they know, and they'll be able to read right through me every day when I get up there. And then I'm supposed to ask them to play. Like, you just can't do it. You got to try to win games. That's the makeup of every coach that's ever been out there and every player. First of all, why do you think a player wouldn't go all in to play hard, right. knowing that he wants to play in the league for a while? What's he going to go half-ass and then everybody sees that?
He doesn't
that?
Want that on tape, right.
So anyway, hey, listen, enough of that. It's getting a little bit late. We went past our time. We'll take a quick break. We do have a lot more. By the way, more from Tua Tagovailoa, who got married. You hear his comments and how he felt about the word getting out on that. So stay with us for that coming up next.
Thank you. Yeah, it was very special. I don't know who ended up leaking it, but you must have been waiting outside the courthouse for an entire week or something. I mean, for me, I love to keep my life as private as possible. And, you know, that's what we tried to do with me, my wife, and my family. But, you know, obviously, in this world, that's not how it is. It's almost kind of disrespectful, if you will, by doing that. But it is what it is. And can't do anything about it. Guys, I have a wife.
Yeah, we had a little surprise there. Tua Tagovailoa, not married. He's a private guy. Listen, I think we know. Right. Very, very private. Was hoping this thing. I just want to let him know for the future. If you go to the courthouse, it's not staying in the courthouse.
No,
it's going to leak out.
Come on. Someone's going to see him there.
They've had a bad problem in the courthouse and the police for a long, long time where everything leaks out. It just
somebody makes a
does.
Phone call and it's over, right?
So there's just a couple of things I want to say. Look, he wasn't overly excited about people finding out, and I get he wants to keep it private, and he lives in a private community and everything.
But is it that big of a deal that he got married?
So I just want to say this here real quick to you. You're the biggest name in this town. You're a starting quarterback in an NFL
for the Dolphins,
NFL city,
right?
Any NFL team. You are big stuff. You happen to be the biggest name in this town by far. Nothing against Jimmy, nothing against Bam, nothing against Sandy, complete game last night, nothing against any of your favorite, Huberdeau now gone, Barkov, any of your favorites in any sport. Nobody sniffs the national and local dial the way Tua Tagovailoa does. It just does. Tyreek's a great story. Honestly, still running number two to Lefty. So it just it comes with the territory. There's a guy that went through it for 20 years, is an absolute rock star. And honestly, for another 10 or 15 years even to this day.
Still gets brought up.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So if you're having trouble, you got the great guy to go to that's had to live it his whole life. He's lived it since he was 21 years old to this day, and he will be the first to tell you, listen, man, I've been through my own stuff, and the bottom line is when you're a starting quarterback in this town and you got a big name, and the better you get, the bigger it's going to get where everybody wants to know everything about you in today's world of social media, TMZ, the local social page that people find stuff when you get married, get divorced, no matter where you go. You can go down to the Keys and file for divorce. It's everybody's going to find it.
It's very easy. Accessible.
He said he thought it was kind of disrespectful. I get it. He's new at this, but I'm just telling you, Tua, you got a guy. You got the best guy in town. That is steps away from you. He's with you every day. He's out at practice. I would recommend nothing to do with football, but to do with life. He's lived in private communities too, so he can have somewhat, he and Claire can have somewhat of a normal life.
Somewhat.
To talk to him about all this stuff. I mean, literally, Dwayne's not around, so you can't talk to Dwayne Wade, who been through and other guys that have been through it, but. I saw it, and he kind of got caught by surprise a little bit on it and said, man, nothing's going to change. And so.
I mean, you got married. It's okay. It's just, it's going to come out at some point.
When he said kind of disrespectful,
yeah,
and I was like, look it, man, you can do, and I think everybody knows you're private. I do. I get it. And it's an adjustment. But. You're in the NFL, man. It's the most popular sport. People, when you make a throw, a good throw or a bad throw, as you now know, millions of people within 24 hours want to see what you're doing. So it's just
– I don't know how else to say it
and be nice about it because I think he's a really, really nice guy. I don't think he's got a bad bone in his body, the way he was raised and everything else, but – yesterday, and by the way, I thought he handled everything well. He did kind of let everybody know, like, man, but like, hey, he needs to look in the mirror and realize who he is. You're starting quarterback and get a mirror that says, I'm the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins or something. And there's high expectations and all that stuff on the mirror because, yeah, it's just not going to go away.
Well, he's got to know he walks into the courthouse or walks in anywhere and someone's going to recognize him.
Yes.
Like at least one person in that courthouse went,
holding
whoa,
hands
whoa,
with somebody
right,
and have your family with
right,
you.
That's Tua. What is he doing? Oh, he's getting married.
Well, he's not going there to get arrested.
No, right. Or bail. Hopefully not bail anyone out. But at that point, someone's on their phone taking a picture. Hey, Tua's here. It looks like he's getting married.
Plus, when they go through the whole process of making it legal, there's just people there and people are going. And listen, his name is Tua Tagovailoa.
Right.
You think it's a good thing?
It's not
though?
Joe Rose or Zach Krantz. Huh?
I just wonder if it's a good thing, man, that the quarterback is this much of a private guy. Like, I don't know why getting married is such a big deal, but
he's going to adjust to it.
We know nothing about.
Well, you know what happens. First thing happens.
I didn't know he had a girlfriend.
I didn't know it either.
Stuff,
by the way, this is new to everybody, but people are going to be going, hey, did you know Tua had a girlfriend we didn't even know, and Tua got married.
Like, the guy's the face of your franchise. None of this is bad stuff. Like, I don't know why he wants to be this much of a private person.
That's just him. He's private.
Yeah, you know, maybe it doesn't matter. I don't know. Maybe I'm overblowing. Maybe it doesn't matter. But it's just kind of weird to have the guy be the most popular athlete in your entire city and you don't know anything about
the guy. We had a guy that was a starting quarterback down here for a long time. Thank you for leading me right into this. Ryan Tannehill just wanted to be the starting quarterback and wanted nothing to do with being the face of the franchise. Mm. Now, didn't have a lot of great success.
And that really ruffled your feathers, by the way.
Oh, God, Woody. I just said it's a fact. Do you think it's – am I lying? Do you agree?
No, you're right. I think his wife wanted to ruffle more
my feathers. Well, I think Tannehill was more
– what?
I mean, Tua was just what? Popular, but like at least –
well, first of all, Tua's a lot more popular than coming in when Ryan was, and people are going, well, he just took a guy that was a wide receiver a couple years ago.
Well, at least Ryan, I mean, his wife was –
right,
probably
I think Lauren Tannehill
was,
wanted
guess,
to be the face of the franchise.
She wanted to be the face of the franchise,
right.
Yeah.
Who cares about Ryan? Look over here.
She goes, hey, Ryan, you're off the billboard. I'm on that damn thing. You don't need to
and
be.
And just to put this in perspective, the New York Post just posted a story. It said Steelers rookie Kenny Pickett sets wedding date with fiance, and there's about 8 different pictures of the two of them, whether it's at camper or just hanging around. That's the difference, too. Like, there's –
and Tua has social media, but he only uses it to pump companies.
Right.
Like, you don't know anything about the guy.
So I would just say if they would have known, he would have been one of the lead stories for the news yesterday.
Yes,
after, you know, the fifth or sixth story going, by the way, our starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, married his long time. You know, they tried to get information how long they've been together. Congratulations. Yeah. Quickly got married. And by the way, you know what comes after – comes after getting married, and that'll be a story too, man. So, anyway, all that stuff that comes with it, I thought was interesting. Once we found out here recently that he had gotten married, and I think the first reaction to everybody was, "Oh, I didn't know he had a girlfriend." Right. Usually, we see the guy with his girlfriend, whether you go to the DCC where a lot of those guys bring their wives, or you know, when guys go out and do charity events, they have their
how about the luau?
Their wife
noticed at the luau?
Apparently people didn't notice because there were a lot of media there.
Yeah. No one noticed.
Anyway, he's got the day off to relax a little bit here before getting back to some practices.
Right. Yeah.
I was just thinking about young quarterbacks. They got their stuff out there. How about Zach Wilson? He had to shut his social media down.
Right, no, yeah.
So, Zach, who you dating now that you broke up with your girl? Listen, he's not the first guy to break up with his college girlfriend. That's been going on, but mom's best friend.
Right. It might be the most public, you know.
Mom's best friend?
Rebound.
You like
that.
Cougars. Yeah. Me too. Right. I'm like, hey, I always like a nice-looking 40-year-old woman when I was in my 20s, too.
It's a hell of a rebound.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
All right, so anyway, we do have a lot of stuff we want to get to. Can you believe it, man? Raiders and Jags tonight.
We got football. This is the best game to watch for about 3 minutes, and then you're done.
45-90. Right. You know what that means? 45-90. Players 45-90 on that roster are going to get a lot of playing time tonight, and a lot of them will be draft picks.
But what do you mean? I saw the picture for the game tonight, Joe. It's got Devontae Adams on there in a uniform. It's got the number one pick overall for the Jags. You mean I'm not going to see either one of those guys?
I'd be surprised if they play at all, but maybe
they're not playing, Joe.
Maybe they get a series in there just to line up. But I don't think – I think in today's NFL, we're not going to see a lot of the starters, a lot of star-proven players. Not going to play a lot. I mean, they get – yesterday we talked about it. Our coach, due to science and stuff in your body, which, by the way, I like because Tyreek Hill plays hard. That guy goes hard every play of every day. He's got the day off yesterday. And so, yeah, I'm guessing he's not going to get a whole lot of playing time for a meaningless 40-yard play in preseason.
Yeah, probably not.
Just to get everybody fired up and everything else that you have going. We got to go to break here. Got a lot of stuff coming up here this morning that we want to get to. By the way, Kyle Krabs will join us. He's in town. And we'll talk to Kyle, who's been at the practices all week here. And to get in, San Diego Contra last night, complete game. This, I wasn't going to bring it up. There's no reason to bring it up. But the GM was talking about down to the trade deadline, and she was amazed on how many teams wanted so many of her players on her team. And I'm sitting there, she's saying all this, and I'm like, at the point, you're 10 games below 500. You're not very good. You can't score runs right now at all. And that's the best you can tell us is you got another prospect, former first-round pick. That was it. That's what came out of it. And everybody wanted all their players.
Really? Wow.
I'll bet you had trouble getting rid of those two guys you paid the most money to.
How much were you offered for
Garcia
them?
And Soler.
Right. Well, at least Cooper got it healthy and had a nice hit last night.
Coop did get
gets golfed, activated and gets a big hit.
Got golfed right. One over the left fielder's head. Right. You're right. All right, we got to go to break. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Recently, a 65-yard touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill went viral on social media. It was viewed more than 2.8 million times. I don't know if you knew that statistic, but why do you think there's such a fascination about that play and the deep ball and your connection with Tyreek?
Yeah, I think because people don't think I can throw the ball far. So I would say that's the fascination. Like, wow, he can throw the ball. It's kind of hard. Hard to be in the NFL if you can't throw the ball, right?
Give the guy some credit, man. He got asked everything, and people want to know more about him. And look at, they're all juiced up. Tua's talking today, you know, and get it. I think he's really good with the media. He's aware of stuff. He is. And it's an interesting one to watch him as he's got a chance coming off a really good first week of camp to see with, by the way, a really talented group of wide receivers from top to bottom. Really, guys that are brand new have picked things up quickly and are pushing for some spots. And the top three guys you have are really good football players. Everybody knows Waddle and Cedric Wilson and Tyreek Hill and how good they are. So this other story that's out there is Preston Williams. And, you know, he doesn't let up. And so they let him talk. And, of course, instead of just letting it go after shaking my head and I need opportunities and, you know, you didn't realize that he already had 300 or 400 catches and been to two Pro Bowls, by the way, he's been talking.
All about that, right?
But he said, yeah, I want opportunities. And I'm like, if you want opportunities, why are you going to media? Why don't you go to the coach? Wes Welker, great communicator. We used to have him on the radio some. Right. Great communicator. Wes, easy to talk to. So is your coach. Great communicator. I can't speak for the rest of those guys, but I just, like, it's incredible. I'm watching this and listening to these comments, and now everybody watches him at practice yesterday in a one-on-one drills, and he gets covered like a blanket. And I'm like, you know, and I give it credit because I'm watching the whole thing. Coach comes over, pats him on the back, and, you know, is really trying hard to get the most out of him and get it. And I still see a guy moping a little bit. I see the other players going over to him, Tyreek and those guys, and, you know, telling him, hey, man, hang in there. You know, you did what you were supposed to on this team, and you were open, but the quarterback went somewhere else with the ball. And I'm thinking, you know, and so the media ask him, hey, have you called your agent? Do you want to be traded? And he goes, no, I haven't done that. You know, I don't know if he said yet, but no, I haven't done that. And, you know, the coach promised me in the offseason I was going to get some chances. I want to hold him to. And I'm like, listen, man, like, I don't know about you getting traded and what you think, like somebody's giving up a second or third round pick for you. And
what?
All of a sudden you're going to somebody's team and you're going to be a starting receiver. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. And I don't know where it comes from and who's stroking you or where this, you know, he's missed half his games in 3 years.
That's not good.
Last year, just wasn't even injured, some of them. He just missed half the games. The first 2 years, injured. Listen, he was really good with great potential, to be fair to the guy. When I saw him in the preseason of his rookie year and some of the catches he made were some of the most ridiculous preseason catches I have ever seen. And you still got to catch it, and you're going against somebody on the other team, so you don't have to tell me it's preseason. And then he goes out and ends up having, you know, if he stayed healthy for that whole season, he was going to have a really good season. He was going to have a really, really good year. Had a few drops in there, but he was going to have a really good year because he's so fast. He was running by guys. He's athletic. He's long.
If he stays healthy. That's going to be the
But that was the first couple years, Zach, yeah. I'm talking about. And so now he is coming out talking, and I'm like, you know, and thank God for social media and people going, hey, man, I don't know what you're watching. Sometimes, you know, this social media stuff's not all bad when you put stuff out there and people respond like, you're closer right now to selling cars than you are making somebody else's roster and being traded. I don't know if they trade him or does he get released.
What are you going to trade him for, a conditional seventh? Like, what's a team going to give up for a guy like that? Like, this is, like you said, this is not a guy where he is a star. He was a star for 2 years here, a really good player, and just not fitting in the offense, not fitting in the system great, so he's not getting the opportunities. Maybe he needs a fresh start. Joe, this guy has been as inconsistent as possible with the most deadly word put around you when you're young like that, potential, because you're going to hold on to a guy like that, hoping that at some point he hits that peak and gets to that potential, and he never really did.
Well, I think everybody's been saying, remember how good he was when he got here in the preseason and the way he started that season when he was here, and he was really good. Listen, we all saw it and go, man, if this guy can stay healthy and whatever trouble he got in, if he can stay out of trouble in the offseason, he's got a chance to be a really good player. I saw it. I said it. But now I'm watching this guy who's not, to me, doesn't run like he used to. Nothing wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't have the talent, but now he's got to work all of a sudden on the neck up because I don't know what he's seeing, man. And by the way, there's 11 or 12 wide receivers, and almost all of them are having good camps to make this thing and taking advantage of it. This Braylon Sanders has been great. Ezekama, the fourth-round pick, has been really good. Sanute does his thing. Sherfield is like, if this thing comes down to special teams and me playing, I'm beating every one of you guys out. And so, like, you're doing the numbers. Ezekama has been, to me, through the first week, when you look at surprises and stuff, he's been the guy. Like, wow. Now, I gave him the benefit of the doubt because I said fourth-round pick. He's going to make the team. He's going to make right. the 53 right. no matter what. That's how I felt, unless he was really bad. He comes in and has caught everything. A bigger body guy. So I was like, man, Wes and those guys done a great job with him and getting him ready to go. And he was ready to go and got himself ready to go. But I don't – and I'll just throw in the other guy too, Lynn Bowden. And, you know, when you decide – everybody knows it. And the hell I even do it. I don't do social media. But when you decide and your buddy's ripping or unhappy and goes to social media and you like it, you're basically going, man, I'm with you, bro. I know what you're going through. I feel the same thing. Because then I go, hey, Lynn, what have you done? What have you done? Like, I get you're a third round. We gave a third round pick for you. So you're going to get benefit of the doubt. We traded with the Raiders to get that third that year when we had the big class and we made it bigger. But, like, you should be seen and not heard and play hard. Be seen, not heard, and let your actions on the field. And by the way, Wes, you know, talking to Wes Welker for a few minutes with the group, not just me, he was like, yeah, man, we watch everything. Blocking, even if you don't get the ball, did you run the route right? Did you get open? You get a plus or minus on all that stuff. It's not just I want to beat Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and get the ball thrown to me. You know, that's what happens. And I know because I've been in the group, the guy that's at the bottom
I thought Bowden would fit in this offense like he'd be one of these guys. You know, he just looks like one of the weapons that McDaniel would love to have in his arsenal. It's just not working out that way.
Listen, it's been a great camp so far. It's been smooth. Knock, 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 knock on wood. For the most part, we got, you know, outside of the foot for Michael Dieter. We got guys pretty healthy, and we've already seen some guys go down in the NFL. Some teams have lost some key players. But it's been good so far for everything except for this stuff. And I think the coach and Wes and the guys on offense are playing nice with these guys. But they ain't going to tolerate it. These guys start going to social media. Last thing they want to do is have Anna Communications running over to them saying, hey, we got to give you. They follow everybody's stuff. Every team in professional sports has the police out watching. Other people in the office watching to see. They know who's loud on social media and who stays off it. And if you're off it, they don't worry about you. They take that list, and the guys that like to get active and a little wild, they police them. They watch them because the coach knows he's going to have to deal with it.
Of course.
It. And
he's going to have to answer the questions whether he knows about it or not. Right?
So what? And boy, Preston, that's a head scratcher. Like, man, if I could just tell a 25-year-old guy. Because he's still 6'5 and 210.
Yep.
That doesn't go away.
No,
you can't coach
that. Right.
So you just say, hey, man, Preston, I don't know how to tell you this, man, but if I could just say something, just go out and play and stop. Don't say anything else and don't mope at practice. Don't put your head down with the ball and rip your chin strap off so everybody can see that, you know, this thing's real positive and rolling right now. And they ain't waiting for anybody.
No, come on.
They're not. They definitely ain't waiting for a guy they don't know if he's going to be on the team or not.
No, rather go with the younger guy.
We got to go to break. 7 o'clock hours coming up. A lot of stuff to get to here this morning as we continue on. Can't believe it, man. If you're just looking for 11-on-11 in the NFL tonight, Hall of Fame game, the Raiders and the Jags. It'd be hilarious if they played their starters the first quarter.
I would be not gonna shocked.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be
shocked.
Yes. Right now, I want to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers. We got one hot SUV family. We love telling everybody about our products because they believe these are the best overall products they've ever had after making some changes in 2021, now into 2022, especially in the big, beautiful SUVs like the Tahoes and Suburbans. They got a brand new sporty look. They've added more space so you and your family, as they grow and get bigger, can be more comfortable. It's nice, man. Even got room for the dog and the cat. The Traverse, that midsize SUV, plenty of space, and what a great look. But boy, it goes back to space, man. Even for a midsize SUV, it feels like it's related to the Tahoe and Suburban. Then the smaller SUVs like the Trailblazer, the Blazer and Equinox. Hey, man, put me in. I bought a Tahoe and a Trailblazer. I love the Chevy products, and I know you're going to love them too. No matter what you feel comfortable driving, our SUVs, these are the best overall products. And Silverado trucks, big, strong, durable. Silverado trucks, the one that's perfect for your lifestyle, new or in great shape used. We got them all for you, and we've got convenient locations all over South Florida, Dade, Broward, and Monroe County. So this weekend, as we get closer to it, find new roads and fall in love at your South Florida Chevy dealer.